day.
Listening to KDRT 95.7 right here in Davis, California. Listening Lyrics is the name of the show. I'm your host, Pete Pastore, and we opened up with Strange Things Happening Every Day. And the reason is because today we're going to talk about everyday things with someone by the name of Paul Smaldino. Did I say that right, Paul?
Yeah.
You did. Okay. I did. I mean, Paul is the lead singer of the Small Dinosaurs, a strange band dedicated to singing songs about the little things that matter. Their first album, Household Songs, is entirely about household chores and is available everywhere on the internet. And I guess that would include iTunes, Spotify, all of those things.
Yeah, all the streaming
okay.
services.
Okay. Their second album, Dad Songs, is due out in 2023. Paul will most likely perform a song or two live in the studio. Listen in now and get to know Paul and learn a bit about little things that matter. Paul, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. And you're going to have to pull that a little closer. This mic is not very live.
All right, now.
There
you
go. Oh, yeah, this is good.
Hello.
Sounding real intimate, real intimate. We're sitting in the studio here. It's nice and warm outside near downtown Davis. We're going to talk about everyday things with Paul. But before we do that, Paul, tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you a California kid?
No, I was born and raised in New York.
In New York. Whoa.
Yeah, long way from home.
Yeah. What part of New York?
I grew up on Long Island.
Okay. New York almost.
Almost, yeah.
And went to high school there?
High school, yeah.
Okay. Music in high school?
I played in a bunch of bands that didn't do anything.
Okay.
And I didn't play in any sort of structured music. When I was in junior high,
uh-huh.
I decided I wanted to join the band, and I went to the band teacher, and I said, I'd like to play a brass instrument, and I was hoping for trumpet.
Ah.
And he said, the only instrument I need is a tuba.
Ooh.
And so he said, if you are willing to learn, I'll give you a tuba right now. And I was about 13, and I was about 4'10", and he gave me this giant tuba I couldn't even carry. And I remember having to basically drag it home. And I worked on the tuba for about a month, and it was not for me. Nothing structured after that.
So are you listening, Jim? I don't know if Jim's listening or not. He's our engineer. And he's got a thing going with me because I've had just about every kind of instrument in here except a tuba.
Hmm.
And he said he'll come in, no matter where he is in the country, he'll come in to see a tuba being played in this studio. But I guess you don't do that anymore.
No, I haven't played a tuba in a really long time.
Okay, so when did you come out to California?
2007.
Okay. What brought you out here?
Graduate school.
Okay.
Here at Davis.
Okay. Studying what?
I studied psychology.
Oh, boy.
I know. It's just a troublemaker all around.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Psychology of all things. Well, okay. Now, music-wise, today you started a band.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I did. This was a project. I started writing these songs back when I still lived in New York. I had played in a few other bands, and I realized I was always putting on an album right when I woke up to sort of get me going
right.
in the morning. And
your cup of coffee, sort of.
Yeah, sort of just to get me out of bed and get some energy. But then I would just get right in the shower, and I never listened to more than a couple minutes of the album before I got. And I thought, this is ridiculous. So I had been working on recording, and just for fun, I wrote a song called Shower Time. And it's not a very good song. Well, it's okay. But I played it for some friends. They liked it. I liked it. And I thought, I'll do another one of these. So I wrote a song called Wash the Dishes.
Right.
That went over well with some friends. And I just kind of kept going from there. And I couldn't help it. It was the easiest songwriting I'd ever done. I'd tried to write songs for years and years and years. Songs about love, songs about heartbreak, songs about the state of the world. And it never... All the regular things.
Yeah,
and I never felt right. And it... Writing about kind of everyday things really freed me up and it flowed a lot more easily.
So we're going to start off with playing one of your songs, but I will say that when you read the titles of the songs and even the name of the band, you're thinking children, okay? But when you start listening, I don't know. I kind of get a little bit of Seinfeld in it, you know, a lot about nothing stuff, right?
Yeah. Someone once described this as a children's band for adults.
Okay.
Which is, there is a couple swear words, and there's a song about drinking, so it's not entirely kid-friendly.
Oh, that wasn't flagged on Spotify.
There's only one, and it's the pretty obviously titled one.
Okay, then I won't play that one.
There's only one, it has a swear word in the title.
Okay.
I never intended it to be for children, but the songs are mostly, very kid-friendly.
Right.
Your friend and mine, Joel Rappaport, he's covered a couple of the songs in his children's band, The Hoots.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's listen to Brush Your Teeth, and I want everybody to listen. The show is listening lyrics. So, Paul, I want you to explain, after the song, why you made a reference to a president. Brush Your Teeth.
When you're brushing your teeth, it feels good in your mouth. Gets rid of all that plaque and tartar. Nobody likes a guy with dirty teeth and breath like Jimmy Carter. So brush your teeth before bed, just so you know. Brush your teeth in the morning before you go. When you're brushing your teeth, it tastes minty fresh. It gets rid of halitosis. Up and down or side to side brings a good dental diagnosis. So brush your teeth before bed, and just so you know, brush your teeth in the morning before you go.
Brush your teeth, the Small Dinosaurs, and we have Paul with us of the Small Dinosaurs, the lead guy. And before we ask him about the president, I do want to make a comment about that song. I love your voice in that, in all of those songs. There's one I want to play specifically later on because you have this little Roy Orbison sound going.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, no, it's very, very good. Yeah, I'm hooked. Okay, when I heard Jimmy Carter referred to in this song, I thought because he has this wonderful big smile. And you said no.
No, I mean, it's 100% because his name rhymes with tartar.
There you go.
I always like Jimmy Carter. But, unbelievable. Just, you know, plaque and tartar, Jimmy Carter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. And let's see, you said you wrote this 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah, this was written back in the sort of the mid-2000s.
Okay, so well after he was president.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was born after he was not. I think I was born in the very tail end of his presidency.
Oh, my God. I can remember having my daughter on my shoulders in Cincinnati, and he stopped and he shook her hand. Amazing. Before he was president.
Oh, wow.
So there you go. I'm a little older than you.
Yeah,
you don't look there it. You go. Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. So toothpaste. So, okay, it's a simple song. It's about toothpaste. It's about something you do once, twice, three times a day. But I read a book a while ago about a cowboy that roamed around the West. And the reason the book was so good is he described what it was like. So it was kind of interesting. And one day he got into the small town and people were lining up somewhere to buy something. And he thought, what's going on here? Well, there was a new invention called toothpaste. And we take it for granted. I mean, there's, you know, the shelves are full of them. But he was just blown away by it. It's sort of like me with the first time I used an electric toothbrush. I thought, holy cow, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's really amazing, the little things, like how much we build up our constructed environment and how much we rely on so many things that weren't even around.
Right. Do you like performing or writing better?
I like both, but I have way more opportunities to write than perform these days.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But, you know, trying to perform
slowly,
more.
Slowly's coming back. You said in the bio, you said the second album is coming out with dad songs. Okay, give me a hint here.
Yeah, well, you know, I in between the last album and now, I got married.
Ooh.
I had a kid. And
ooh.
Then I had a second kid.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. You know.
Oh.
Yeah.
What are their names?
Their names are Mira and Lyra.
Okay.
And
cool.
They're 3 and 7.
Wow.
And, you know, I find myself with even less time to go out and you know, party and, you know, be
right.
You know, live a rock and roll lifestyle. So I'm around my kids a lot. And, you know, if I'm hanging out with them and playing guitar or something, then the natural thing to do is start writing about
right.
what it's happening around
right.
me. And so,
yeah.
Naturally, just a bunch of songs about, you know, the sort of about the sort of milieu of being a dad
yeah.
just kind of emerged.
Perfect.
And,
I love it. I can't. But you're going to play one or two of those songs, right?
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Yeah, good. Okay. We're going to play another one here of yours. And while we do that, while you're listening, you're going to get your guitar out and get ready for us.
Sounds
How's
great.
That? Okay. We are going to play. Oh, this is a good one. An ode to toenail clipping.
Yeah.
You know, in my traveling days, I spent a lot of time in hotels, and I always hated when the lady came in to vacuum. My brother Art tells this story a lot. When they were coming in to vacuum, and you hear the vacuum cleaner sucking up toenails from the previous guest. Click, click, click.
Yeah, that's horrifying.
It's horrifying, but it's something you have to do, right? Let's take
No, don't clip your toenails in a hotel room and leave the No, don't do that. If you do that, you're a bad person.
There you go. Okay, that's spoken like a real dad. Here we go. An ode to toenail clippings. I love this.
Toenail clippings lost wherever they'll be found. My toenails do grow and I clip them to go and they land all over the ground. Oh, where could they be, my lost toenails? You know it's a crying shame. I try to keep
to toenails. You know, Paul, that sounds like a beer drinking sing-along song,
you know,
in my opinion.
I actually, given that we're in Davis, I really should give a shout out to the Davis Beer Shop, where a music video for that song was recorded, and all of the sort of crowd vocals were real with friends
really?
And friends of friends that we got to come and sing along. And so that's all. That was all those background yahoos were.
Yeah, yeah.
That's in the Davis Beer Shop.
I love it. Wow. Okay. Well, let's go on and have you play something live for us. Let's see where we're at here. We're 20 minutes after already. So I have to remind everybody that you're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. You're listening to Listening Lyrics. I'm your host, Peter Pastore. I'm sitting here with Paul Smaldino, and he's the lead singer of the Small Dinosaurs. The Small Dinosaurs, I gather that name is because it's using a lot of your last name.
Yeah, this is not a real mystery. This
No.
was actually imposed on me by the rest of the band, the first incarnation of the band.
Okay.
Somebody came up with that, and then I was like, I don't know, and the other three were like, no, that's the name.
That's the name.
So
sort of like my nickname at back before I moved here. All my old friends call me Rootsap, because that's Pasteur backwards.
Ah.
So there you have it. What are you going to play for us?
I'm going to play a song called Let Me Go Back to Bed. And I feel like it is, of all the songs of the new batch, maybe the most quintessential dad song.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay.
Six in the morning, the sun's not yet up, you're wide awake anyway, there's no work on Sundays, we have no plans, you're getting set for the day. Excited to watch some cartoons and have a good breakfast and play until noon. I see that you're happy and I'm happy too. There's just one request that I have for you. Let me go back to bed. Let me go back to bed. I love you, but please understand what I said. Let me go back to bed. It's 3 in the morning, you're calling for me. Go potty, you need me to come. I'll stay here as long as it takes. Stop by the kitchen for a snack to consume, then walk down the hallway back to your room. See that you're shaking, give you a squeeze. I'm begging you, baby, begging you, please let me go back to bed. Let me go back to bed. I love you, but please understand what I said. Let me go back to bed. I had days in my youth, still bleed and sleep till noon. Now they see
such a different vibe from your first album.
Yeah, well, I'm older and more bitter now.
Hey, tell me, how does a guy from Long Island, New York, get that country accent in the songs, huh?
Oh,
it sounds like you're Tennessee born and bred here.
Yeah, I like country music. Yeah. What can I say?
So,
this New York is a melting pot.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You said you like country music. Who do you idolize in country music?
You know,
dead or alive?
I'll start by saying I like lots of genres of music. Really, almost every genre of music.
Right.
There's a lot of things I can find things that I really love.
Yeah.
I like a lot of the classic country. You know, Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, maybe. Roy Orbison. You mentioned. I love Roy Orbison.
Yeah.
I like a lot of some kind of newer, maybe alt country, indie country stuff too.
I
was a big fan of the, may he rest in peace, the Silver Jews.
Yeah.
And I really like Smog and Wilco and some of those.
Boy,
guys,
yeah, so. You're hitting them all. Yeah. You're hitting them all. Well, we're slowly approaching halfway. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
Huh? Yeah.
It goes fast.
It's a good time.
But. You mentioned you might like to play a song for us. And for the regular listeners, you know that not every week, but some weeks, I ask especially the artist that's visiting to play a song that was either written or co-written by Paul McCartney. And the reason is my granddaughter gave me this book, or two books, actually. It's two volumes of Paul McCartney songs, and he lists many, many of them. And talks a little bit about why he wrote this. And the song is, I'm going to play a song that introduces this song. Okay? And we go back in time. I think this was recorded probably the 40s, Doris Day. You know Doris Day?
Doris Day.
Okay. Oh, you're old enough for Doris Day. She sang a song called, it was a big hit. She sang a song called The Black Hills of Dakota. Listen in.
They kiss the sky above, and when I get that lonesome feeling, and I'm miles away from home, I hear the voice of the mystic mountains calling me back home. So take me back to the Black Hills, the Black Hills of Dakota, to the beautiful Indian country that I love.
And when I get that lonesome feeling, and I'm miles away from home,
I hear the voice of the mystic mountains calling me back home. So take me back to the Black Hills, the Black Hills of Dakota, to the beautiful Indian country that I love.
to the beautiful Indian country that I love.
Take me back to the Black Hills.
The Black Hills of Dakota. Took my grandkids there once. Doris Day. Does anybody remember what Broadway show that came from or movie? Well, it was Calamity Jane. Sort of fits, doesn't it? Calamity Jane.
Yeah.
And, of course, the reason I played that is because it mentions Dakota. And we selected, or I selected, the song Rock. No, you selected it, Paul. Rocky Raccoon.
Yeah, you asked me to come up with a Paul McCartney song.
Right.
I'd play, and I was. It didn't take me long to pick this one. I love the Beatles,
right.
But I've always been more of a John Lennon guy. But,
okay,
Well,
he co-wrote it.
Well, they say.
Yeah. They say yeah.
But this song is really fun, and it really hits a lot of notes. A lot of things that I really like. And first of all, the song is absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
It's not about anything serious. It's just this kind of very silly song. It also, musically, I find it really interesting because on the one hand, it's this very simple chord progression that just repeats and repeats and repeats and never changes.
Right.
But it's a weird song because it's not really fully in any key. It's like ostensibly in A minor, but it's not fully in there. And it's got a lot of seventh chords, and it never really fully resolves. So it always feels like you're a little off kilter. And I think that really kind of gives the song momentum. So I always thought that was really cool.
So Paul writes about this song, and I'll just highlight just a few things here. He says, one of the great things about this song is that it works perfectly well with just me on the guitar. Come to think of it, that's how it was written. I believe this was on their White album, I believe.
It's true.
Yeah, okay. So he says, I was doing this bit of a spoof, just playing around, and I heard, these kind of talking blues songs. Bob Dylan was doing that kind of thing at that time. So I just imagined the Black Hills in South Dakota because I knew that song, which Doris Day sang in Calamity Jane. Can you imagine a movie that old influencing the Beatles? Of course, that's only 30 years after they're talking mid-60s, right?
It's totally in the correct timeline.
Yeah, it is. He says he loved to watch Rocky Raccoon because Davy Crockett. He loved, no, not Rocky Raccoon. Yeah, Rocky Raccoon because of Davy Crockett in his raccoon cap. So he started imagining a little story, and that's what you, Paul, and songwriters do. They imagine a story, and they go with the flow. So he said the lyrics about the Gideon Bible, he had never seen anything like that, but he said every room he went to in America back then had a Gideon Bible in it, and no one in England did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the doctor that stinks of gin, well, Paul McCartney was on his, what did he call it, moped, with Betty on his back, and he fell off, and he busted his lip, and Betty said, we've got to get a doctor, you need stitches. So the doctor came, literally stinking of booze, stinking of gin, and he brings his black bag, and he tries to thread the needle in this curved surgical needle. But he's seeing three needles. He couldn't do it, so Paul did it for him. Can you imagine? Finally, he said, okay, he's going to do it. He said he was very clumsy with no anesthetic because he said he forgot it and only had a bottle of scotch with him. So this is the 60s. It just seems like the 1860s,
Yeah. I gotta say this. One of the best books I read in the last couple of years was this book called The Butchering Art, which is a history of antiseptic medicine in the West. It is nuts. And you realize how new everything was, that like anesthetic, like ether, first hits the stage in like the 1860s.
Right.
And antiseptic, which like things to prevent infection was like 1890s.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not that long ago.
No, many people died. So anyways, he did it, but he kind of messed up and he had to do it again. And he said he still has a little bump on his lip that every time he feels it, he thinks of that doctor that stinks of gin. So now we're going to have Paul sing his version of Rocky Raccoon.
Oh, God.
Okay, here we go. You've got to live up to this.
Now, somewhere in the black mining hills of Dakota, there was a young boy named Rocky Raccoon. One day, his woman ran off with another guy. He hit young Rocky in the eye, and Rocky didn't like that. He said, I'm going to get that boy. So one day, he walks into town, and he books himself a room at the local saloon. Rocky Raccoon checked into his room, only to find Gideon's Bible. Rocky had come equipped with a gun to shoot off the legs of his rival. His rival, it seems, had broken his dreams by stealing the girl of his fancy. Her name was McGill, and she called herself Lil, but everyone knew her as Nancy. Now she and her man, who called himself Dan, were in the next room at the hoedown. Now Rocky burst in, grinning a grin. He said, Danny boy, this is a showdown. But Daniel was hot, he drew first and shot, and Rocky collapsed in the corner. Skiddly bop bop, diddy bop bop boo. The doctor came in, and stinking of gin, and proceeded to lie on the table. He said, Rocky, you met your match. Rocky said, Doc, it's only a scratch. And I'll be better, Doc, as soon as I am able. Rocky Raccoon fell back in his room, only to find Gideon's Bible. Gideon checked down, and he left with no doubt to help with good Rocky's revival. Bootin' 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 booty bop bop dee dot dee dee boop boop boo. Skiddly bop bop dee dee bop bop boo.
His woman ran off with another guy, hit young Rocky in the eye.
You can't, you're going to compare me to Paul
McCartney. No, I am.
Back
I
to
am.
Back.
So where, I won't play this. We'll play it in the background. Hey, you did a great thing there. That was awesome.
Thanks.
You're a good storyteller.
Well, that, I mean, I'm just telling someone else a story.
Yeah. But. Good Lord.
Oh, it's such a fun song. The Adventures of Rocky Raccoon and Lil McGill.
Yeah.
And
the doctor stinking
of gin. The drunk doctor. It's really fun.
Yeah, it is. Hey, do you want to earn your keep? Do you want to do an...
Did I not?
No, not yet. Do you want to do a public service announcement?
I would love to do a public service announcement.
Are you an outdoors guy?
Sure.
You are?
It depends on who you ask.
Yeah,
it's all relative.
Okay.
Okay.
Go
for it? Yeah. All right. Cache Creek Canyon Regional Park is located along Highway 16 in Yolo County, approximately 50 miles northwest of Davis. The park encompasses more than 700 acres, with opportunities for, get ready, rafting, hiking, picnicking, and camping. The park also provides access to 54,000 acres of BLM property, including the Blue Ridge Trail. More information is available via yolocounty.org.
Do you know what BLM stands for?
It stands for the Bureau of Land Management. And also Black Lives Matter, but not in this context.
How many acres?
54,000.
Wow.
It's a couple.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's good. I've been there. I've never camped there.
The park provides access to 54,000 acres, but the park itself is 700 acres, which seems like a more reasonable space for a park.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you for doing that.
Yeah,
you've earned
pleasure.
Your keep now. Okay. You've earned your keep.
I should probably go. It sounds nice.
I want to do a little exercise.
Oh, I meant to the Cache Creek Park, not leaving the studio.
Oh yeah. By the way, Paul, thank you, but you got to go now. You've had your time. You've had your time on this planet. So,
beam me up.
Yeah, beam me up is right. So your songs of everyday things. There was the laundry, showering, brush your teeth, toenail clipping, sweep. We haven't played Sweep the Floor yet, which we will.
Oh, great.
What were some of the titles you thought of that were thrown out the window?
There was a couple. I will admit, at some point I ran out of ideas for more chores or activities and solicited some from friends. So that's where Ode to Toenail Clippings and Close the Door When You Go Boom Boom both come from. But I had a couple others that didn't make the cut. I had a song called Turn Off the Lights.
Good one.
I had a song called Pay the Bills.
Yes.
Yep. Those are the two that come to mind.
Cut the lawn?
I never had to mow the lawn. I mean, if you hang around me long enough and I have I often will just kind of sing about what's happening. So that's sort of where this all comes from.
Okay.
And, there's probably been lots of songs that were just kind of ephemeral.
Yeah.
Lost into the wind.
Okay. Let's play Sweep the Floor while you get ready to play us a new one live from your next upcoming album.
Sounds good.
Here we are, Sweep the Floor, The Small Dinosaurs.
Sweep that dust up off the floor. Sweep until it's clean. Hold that dust pan and hold that broom. Show the floor just what you mean. Sweeping all the dirt on the floor, sweeping all that dust away, sweeping doesn't take too long, so we'll
Where was this recorded? Sweep the Doors? A floor.
Sweep the Floors. Yeah. It was recorded, and I feel terrible that I can't remember the name of the studio. It was recorded in Sacramento.
Okay.
Ira was the name of the engineer, and I can't remember his last name. Although we sort of co-engineered it, him and the rest of the band, because both me and Charles Caskey, who was in the original incarnation of the band, had engineering experience.
Okay, so when I listen to it, it sort of reminds me of, okay, that song, much more so than all the others that you have recorded, we've played, has this, as what was his name said, it has that wall of sound.
Oh, yeah, like the Phil Spector.
Phil Spector, yeah. Right? So when you wrote this song, were you already imagining all this
stuff? That's funny that you say that, because for that song in particular, I always imagined, it was my bad attempt to write a gospel song.
Oh.
And I imagined that song as having like a full gospel choir, like going like, sweeping!
Yeah.
I thought that would be so great. And, you know, that was not to be, but.
Then you could have titled it, Going to Church, as one of your...
Cleanliness is next to godliness.
There you go. Okay, you're listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. I'm your host, Peter Pastore of Listening Lyrics, and we have in the studio Paul Smaldino, of the lead singer of the Small Dinosaurs, who, for these recordings on your original album, who were all the bandmates?
The band, it was me, Charles Caskey, Joel Rappaport, and Brian Goginini.
Okay, nice. Alrighty, any web presence?
Yeah, you can find us. Not enough web presence. You can find us on Instagram. I think it's at Small Dinosaurs, although I should know that. But I think it's on your website. You can find us. We have a Bandcamp page, and we have Precious Little Else.
Okay. Well, get to work.
Yeah.
Get to work. For those looking on iTunes and Spotify, it's not under Paul's name. It's under The Small Dinosaurs.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Now you're going to play something new for us.
Yeah. This is a song. Again, I mean, I'm choosing sort of songs that I think will sound good acoustically. Some of the other songs that we have are a lot more arranged and louder and faster. But this is a song... I wrote about my daughter and her friend, who is the son of my current drummer, Jimmy.
Okay. Jimmy Tour?
No, Jimmy Kukunda.
Oh, okay.
And we were camping, and the two kids were running around with walkie-talkies. And so this song is called Do You Read Me?
Oh, I like it. Go for it. I'm the engineer on the fly here.
All right, sounds good. It's not a loud song.
Okay.
Do you read me over and over? Over and over. Copy that. Do you see me falling behind you? Can't seem to find you. You're too far down the tracks. When you push that button, that's a hard pill to swallow.
'cause I can hear your voice coming through.
Very, very nice. You know, it's kind of heartwarming that you sing songs about this kind of stuff. You know, it's different. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta find a niche.
Yeah,
and take it.
Yeah, yeah. Who's your competitor?
Oh God,
probably quite a few.
I feel like I would have to be, you know, having certain accomplishments to have a competitor. There's a lot of sources of musically, lots of sources of inspiration, but I think like aesthetically or sort of spiritually,
yeah.
Jonathan Richman probably more than anyone.
Okay.
Maybe Ween a little bit. Tom Waits.
Yeah.
You know.
What do you listen for when you listen to a song? Is it the lyrics? Or the performance?
It's the entire thing. I mean, lyrics are important. Yeah. I really love lyrics.
Yeah.
And there's been times where I've heard a song that I like, but if the music can be great, and if the lyrics I don't like, then I'm done.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm willing to forgive a song that has kind of mediocre music if the lyrics are great.
Yeah.
But that said, I really love great music too. Yeah. You know, and the lyrics can be simple.
Well, Paul, we're running out of time here. I want to close out with "Laundry," which is to me one of the better songs in that. That part, not better songs, but ones I like.
Yeah, great.
Right? Okay,
I like it too.
I want to thank you for coming. I want you to make me a promise that when you do perform live somewhere, let me know. I'll certainly let the listeners know, and I'd love to be there.
That'd be great. I definitely will, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Anything else to say before we play "Laundry," which will carry us right through the end?
If anyone's looking to book us, we're looking to play more shows, so get in touch. Otherwise, go listen to our songs on the internet streaming service of your choice.
Perfect. The Small Dinosaurs. Paul Smaldino, thank you. You've been listening to KDRT 95.7 in Davis, California. Listening Lyrics, I'm your host, Peter, and thank you for listening, and we'll see you all next week. And here we go, "Laundry" by the Small Dinosaurs.
cool.